how can I be clean? We as a family have been moving house over the last couple of weeks, and sometimes during that moving process, you look around at all the mess, all the stuff, all the boxes, and you ask yourself, how can we get this all cleaned up? But it does happen. And I think to be clean is something that brings a sense of satisfaction, a sense of things that are right. A pile of clean dishes is much more better to look at than that pile of unwashed dishes. A clean, shiny, highly polished, waxed car is much better to the eye than a dirty, dusty car. Unless it's a four-wheel drive, then perhaps that's a different category. But I think you know I'm not here tonight to talk about being physically clean. This is a spiritual concept that we want to look at tonight. Someone once said, some people are not so dirty as they once were, but they are far from clean yet. And I think that is a pretty good summary of ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves. We ought to be clean, every whit, clean in our thoughts, clean in all our words, clean in our conduct. We need to aim at a clean life. And I think as we think about cleanliness in the spiritual sense, we see this need of cleansing in ourselves. Sin has defiled everything, and those marks, those dirty marks, are on our hearts, our lives, our families, and mars everything, just as the dirt does. So how can we remedy this? How can we fix this problem? You know, that which defiles us is inside us, and it cannot be easily gotten rid of. We must come clean within and do this. And to do this, we must follow God's word. You know, Mr. Moody tells the story of one day he promised to take his little boy out for a drive. But his child played in the dirt and made himself quite unfit to be seen. Let me come with you, Father, he pleaded. No, Willie, you are not ready. I must take you in and wash you. Oh, Papa, I is ready. No, you are dirt all over you. Mama washed me. I is clean. Finding he couldn't convince the child that he'd built up a fair amount of dirt since he'd last been washed, Mr. Moody lifted Willie up in his arms and showed him his face in a looking glass. Then that little boy realised he wasn't as clean as he thought he was. You know, the Bible is a bit like a looking glass, that mirror. We can look in it and we can see our need of cleansing. And we need to prayerfully study it to find that need and realise where the dirt is. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 119. This is going to be our text for tonight, Psalm 119. And it's a familiar verse, verse 9. And I'm sure many of us can quote this verse or we're familiar with it. Psalm 119, verse 9, which says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And that is the question that I want to consider tonight. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young lady cleanse her way? How can we cleanse our ways? How can we be clean before the Lord? And you might notice that the answer is given in the latter part of the verse, where it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I like how God's word answers a lot of the questions that it poses to us. And it's vitally important to us to take notice of these answers that are given us. Some people think the Bible isn't relevant to us today. They think that it's an old book and it no longer applies. Outdated, if you like, written long, long ago by people out of touch with what we know. But we know that God's word is inspired by God and it is always relevant for us. And this, the psalmist here in this psalm, the longest psalm in the Bible, but with many hidden truths in it, he was deeply concerned here about personal purity. And we can see this question here in this verse. And you could read it as, what is the secret of personal and practical holiness? And you know, as you look through scriptures, you find this theme of being clean throughout scriptures in many verses. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A clean heart. How can we have a clean heart? In Isaiah 52 verse 11, it says, depart ye, go out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. The importance of being clean before God can use us. Be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. How can we be clean? In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our hearts are full of deceit, desperately wicked. How can our hearts, if they're like that, be cleansed and pure in God's sight? In Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 we read, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How can we gain that pure heart that God seeks for, that God looks for? And we have that passage in Romans chapter 7 verses 18 to 24, and we have a vivid description of the struggle that we all have. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. If I do that I would not, it is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he finishes in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The struggle of being clean before God, being pure, being holy. That struggle to be good, if you like, to put it in simple terms. How can we gain the victory? How can we overcome this endless struggle of being clean in God's eyes? In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How can we do that? How can we gain that holiness, that cleansing from the sin that is so often within us? We need to keep ourselves pure, as Paul admonished Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. But the question is how? And in here in Psalm 119, verse 9, we have that question. And it's a great question. How can I be clean? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And it's a plain question. There's nothing difficult about this question. It means exactly what it says. Here is a young man with a sinful heart, perhaps an offensive life, impure thoughts, sinful habits, maybe foul conversation, maybe his reading matter is vile, maybe his relationships are immoral. How can this young man cleanse his way? How can he become clean? You know, whether we're young or old, male or female, we know that this question touches the deepest of our needs. It's something that many desire, to be clean. It's an important question. And there are other important questions such as, how can I reform my ways? But notice the question here in this verse is, how can I cleanse my way? It's not to do with education or your career or your success or your marriage or financial security, but it does have to do with the life and the heart being pure. By nature, we are sinful and we're surrounded by evil. Our eyes, lips, feet, hands, ears, they're all quick to slip into sin. You know, the word way here in this verse 9, how shall a young man cleanse his way? It's an interesting word. It signifies like a track or a rut. You know how when someone goes down a dirt track and it's a bit wet and you leave a wheel rut in the track, and then when it dries up and next time you drive down that track, if your wheels get in the rut, usually you can't get out of it very easily. You're stuck in the rut. And I think we see here the picture of this young man in our psalm. His wheels are stuck in the rut of sin. He's stuck in the rut of sin, in the way of sin. And he's caught and he can't work his way out. And this question here, how can he be saved? How can he be cleansed from that evil way? This question is practical. It calls for action. You know, Psalm 119 is more than just beautiful Hebrew poetry. But we see the inspired testimony of a man who knew his deep need to be clean. Knew that he needed to be cleansed, that his way needed to be cleansed. And we can see in this question, there's an admission of a need. You know, really we cannot become clean until we admit that we're dirty and are in need of cleaning. If we can't come to the admission of a need, there's going to be no way of fixing the problem. The lepers in the New Testament knew who to go to be made physically clean from their disease. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. It seems simple in that context. The Lord Jesus Christ touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And really it is that simple. It is really that simple. We also see in this question here in verse 9 of Psalm 119 a confession of a desire. We can see the heart desire here in this question. How can I be clean? How can I clean my way? There is a desire here. There's a request here. Do we desire to be clean? Do we seek God to be clean? Do we desire to be holy? Or are we kind of fond of our unholy ways and those little sins that make us so dirty? I think we also see a sense of urgency in this question as well. I need to cleanse my ways. I need to do it now. I need to know how. And as I said before, the answer to all this question is found in the same verse. How can my heart and life be kept pure? How can I clean up my act, if you like? And the answer is by taking heed thereto according to God's word. Thy word, as it says in the verse. God's word. By taking God's word as our light and our guide and the director of our ways. By considering your steps in the light of God's word. By taking God's word as the chart, the plot, or the pilot and the propeller of our ways. You know, for the one who receives God's word, makes it his bosom companion, accepts its light that it offers as the guide of his path, who follows the Lord who it commends to us, their life will be changed. Their heart will be fixed on the strength of God. They no longer will be like a straw tossed in the wind, like a dead log in the swirl of the river, like a wave driven this way and that. But they can become a life connected to the God who made them. A life made wise by the indwelling of God's truth in the mind and the constraint of wanting to please their Saviour in the heart. You know, this young man in our verse, he needs to have a fixed purpose to cleanse his way. You know, determination plays a large part in our faith, as it does in many other parts of our lives. If we're determined, if we're fixed on it, something's going to happen. If it's just a little side issue and we don't think much about it and we're not determined, nothing will probably happen. We need to have that resolve, a firm resolve, to live that holy life that we can do by the grace of God. We must use God's word as our guide. You know, the Bible is the cleanest book in the world. Its instructions are divine, straight from the mouth of God. And we can find perfection in God's word. And we can gain a greater answer to our question tonight by looking in the following verses of Psalm 119. Verse 9, if you like, kicks off the topic. But if we run our eye down the following verses, we get more answers, we get more help. Notice verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. We must seek God. We must seek him. We must make earnest prayer and supplication for him to reveal to us his message in his word. Notice how the psalmist refers to the whole heart. And I think that's the key to this verse 10, the whole heart. All of our affections must be involved here, or we cannot succeed. With our whole heart have I sought God. Have you sought God with your whole heart? If we keep part of our heart for something else, we keep any affection for some sin, a pet sin, or something over on the side, it's not the whole of our heart that we seek God. We may make prayers, we may seek God, but if it's not with the whole heart, I think we get a lot less results. You know, we need to be found searching God's word with our whole heart, and then we won't wander from thy commandments, as it says there in the latter part of the verse. We need to search with our whole heart God's word, and then the wandering won't be quite as easy if we have our whole heart focused on our God and our Saviour. You know, John 15:3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We can be made clean through God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. We need to, as this verse 10 says, seek God with our whole heart, every part of it, and then we won't wander from thy commandments. We won't get lost. We won't fall away and get dirty in the mud on the sidetrack. We will keep clean. Verse 11, and again, a familiar verse. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That word hid means to conceal. Something, if you want to hide something, you put it in a private place and you keep it to yourself. You don't share it with anybody, that special item. You hide it from public view. And here we see that the meaning is to lay up in our heart, to hide it up in our heart. as a secret, inaccessible place, our private place. We can hide our thoughts, our purposes, our designs. In the same way, we can lay up knowledge and wisdom in the heart as a treasure. You know, we see the meaning here, that he treasured up the word of God. He put it away in a special place. He treasured it as if it was the most valuable thing, and it was hidden away there in his heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Do you count God's word as a great treasure that you need to hide and keep it in a special place in your heart? The most valuable of treasures that you put in a special place. And why does he do that? Why does the psalmist hide thy word in his heart? That I might not sin against thee. And we see it coming back to, how can I cleanse my ways? Verse 10 said, let me not, so that I won't wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, I hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You can see the cleansing process here from God's word. Hiding God's word in our heart that I might not sin against thee. It might protect me from sinning against thee. I might be continually guided by its precepts. I might be admonished of a duty. I might be deterred from going astray. That's what happens when we hide God's word in our hearts. We treasure up as treasures, as jewels, those portions of God's word in our mind and our heart, which speak against uncleanliness of every kind, that recommend purity, chastity and holiness. The word of Christ needs to dwell richly in us. We need to let God's word enter right in, and we need to hide it in our hearts. It not only has the power to cleanse us, but to help keep us clean, that we might not sin against him. You know, we know, often read those stories of the early settlers out in the wild west of America. And those early settlers in America had to keep their guns within reach while on their farm, in case enemy came unawares. You know, our foe, the devil, is quite likely to come when we're least expecting him. And we need to have our weapon at hand, within reach, so that if we're suddenly taken unawares, we have God's word. Think of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, when Satan came to him in the wilderness, when he was weak and hungry from not eating for 40 days. He had God's word in his heart. Of course, he was God, and he was the word. But we can see that we need to have God's word hid in our heart, like a gun in the holster, ready to pull out on the quickest of draws. We need to keep our hearts with all diligence. We need to be awake and watchful and ready with God's word hidden in our hearts. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Notice the words, teach me. We need to be humble, lowly and submissive. We need to be teachable. We need to have that desire to learn of God's word. We need to do like Mary did in Luke 10:39, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You know, we need to be willing to put aside those cares of life which can often fill our minds, and that's all we can think about is what's happening and what I need to do tomorrow and next week and how am I going to get all that done. We need to put aside those things and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Martha was cumbered with the physical needs of caring for people who were hungry. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Matthew 11:29, Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls." Learn of me, said Jesus, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We need to be willing to learn. We need to be willing to be taught. We need to be willing to let God teach us his statutes. Sometimes we don't want to listen. Sometimes we're not willing to be taught. Sometimes we want to block out some of God's word because it doesn't suit what we want. We need to be able to, with the psalmist, say, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me. Teach me thy statutes." Verse 13. "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." With my lips have I declared. Our mouths. Do we declare the truth of God's word with our mouth, with our lips, as the psalmist says? Do we declare all the judgments of God's mouth, God's word? Do we use our lips to declare God's word to others? When we're talking to others, it's easy to talk about the weather, the sports, the news, the local gossip. What about declaring the word of God? Do we ever talk about what God says in here? Do we feel free to discuss God's word with someone else? Or is it something we don't want to go there, it's too hard and I might upset someone? It says here, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Do we talk about what God says in his word? If we hide it in our heart, it should be easy. And it will help to keep us clean, to keep us pure. If on our lips is the word of God, it will take away the slip-ups of saying things we shouldn't and using our lips for the wrong, impure purpose. It'll keep us clean. Verse 14 says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. The way in this verse is a different way to the young man's way that we looked at in verse 9. This word "way" is a direction, a course. Do we rejoice in the direction that God's word points us in? Or do we wish sometimes that God's word pointed some other way? Because we don't really want to go that way that God's word says to go. Do we rejoice? Are we glad to follow the way, the direction of God's word at all times, even when it doesn't suit us? You know, rejoicing in God's word and treasuring the direction of God's word is important. And as it says there, "as much as in all riches." It's easy to go the way of riches. The lure of riches is strong. But God's word should be more precious to us than riches, earthly riches. It's easy to rejoice in the direction of riches and to be glad to go in the direction of riches. And yet, God's word abides forever. Riches and possessions can disappear overnight, but God's word is forever. And the direction that God's word points us in has eternal consequences. Riches can make us kind of happy here and now, but God's word, we can lay up treasure in heaven. We need to be rejoicing in the way, the direction of God's word, just as much as we might rejoice in some earthly riches. And that will help keep us clean. Verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." I will meditate in thy precepts. And this is a common theme in the scriptures, to meditate God's word. Learn, mark, inwardly digest God's word. Meditate. Chew the cud. Chew on it. Think about it. Mull over it. And then it says there in the last part, and have respect unto thy ways. To respect means to submit to the fact that God's will is best and his ways are much better than our way. And this way in this verse is the same as in verse 9. That rut, that track we're on. We need to go God's way. The young man in verse 9, he's going his own way. And he wants to clean his way up. He wants to cleanse his ways. We need to meditate on God's word and have respect unto God's road, the way God wants us to do. We need to submit to God's will and the way he wants us to go. His ways are better, way better than our ways. We need to meditate and have respect unto God's ways. We need to forget our way. And it's all part of being clean. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You get a sense here of a perseverance in this daily process. Taking God's word, applying it, obeying it, and making it your rule for faith. In other words, what you believe. And make it your practice, what you do. God's word needs to be what you believe and what you do. We need to not forget his word. If we follow the steps in these verses from 9 to 16, we won't forget his word because we'll be memorising it. We'll be meditating it. We'll be hiding it in our heart. We'll be pondering it. We'll be musing it. We'll be speaking God's word. You can't forget God's word then if you're doing all that we've looked at in these verses. If you're declaring it with your lips, if you're hiding it in your heart, you're never going to forget it. And if you're not already a child of God, if you do all these, you will soon find and recognise why the Lord Jesus Christ died and shed his precious blood. And you'll discover how to be cleansed from the guilt and also the penalty of your sin. 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we need to have that daily cleansing, just as we have daily cleansing of the physical body in baths and washing and showers. We need to have that daily cleansing in his word. When you humbly and in repentance confess to him that which you've done wrong and receive the assurance of his forgiveness. And we know that verse in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once we're born into God's family, born again, God wants us to keep clean. He wants us to cleanse our ways. And we've seen the formula, if you like, here in Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. The story is told of a gentleman when he brought his son to London in order that he might apprentice him to an engineer. He was made up his mind to give him a few words of good counsel. And he turned over in his mind how the best way to say this to the young man without offending him or getting his back up and making him think he was talking him down. And as they walked along the street, they observed that the roadway was very muddy. And the young man was about to cross through the mud to cross the road. But his father stopped him. "Wait," he said. "We'll seek a clean crossing. Always seek a clean crossing in life." And after he'd been left alone in town, the youth pondered those words and began to see their meaning. Seek a clean crossing in life. Mind where you go. Keep out of the mud. There are some places that we need to keep away from. We need to seek a clean crossing. There's things we need to avoid. You know, God's word is a cleansing book. It will make you squirm if you read it honestly, and you can, and you use it as a looking glass and see whether your life lines up with what God says. We need to make God's word our chart, as the old shipping terms go. The chart to guide the course across the ocean and to avoid the rocks. And that's what God's word is for. The Bible calls us to be clean, as we read 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have all the directions that we need to be clean, but often we don't enact them. Often we don't want to get in the bath. We avoid it. We like our dirt. And we need to follow the direction of God's word. And then we can be clean. And it's clear, coming back there to verse 9, says there, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed. Taking heed. It's the only condition given here of gaining that cleansing, cleaning up the way, is taking heed according to thy word. It's clear there needs to be taking heed. You get the concept of watchfulness. We need to watch out. We need to be on the watch. This constant watchfulness, and as we've seen, must be regulated by God's word. We need to be on guard. We need to be on the watch. We need to be taking heed. And in God's word, we're given the instructions clear and plain. We need to use it as our guide, a guide of conduct, a guide for our character, a guide for our morals, and we'll have a cleansing of our ways. You know, and this only can be done effectively if you are a child of God. If you're not, you need to take that first step of being cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we also need to not miss these important things in God's word that we've looked at tonight. The one fatal step we can take is trying to keep our own heart by our own power and our own might, and using God's word as the law, and we must not break it. And if you do that, you're dirty and you're condemned. You know, you'll end up like the scribes and Pharisees of the New Testament. They got so tangled up with keeping the law that they missed the Messiah. They missed the important things. You know, we need to be taking heed, but to God, to God's word. We need to be fixed our attention and take hold of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we could be clean. We need to be looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to be guided by him and him alone. God's word will help us in that path. So, tonight, the simple answer to that question we've found: how can a young man cleanse his way? God's word is the answer. God's word is the answer. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word that we have. We thank you that we can use it to cleanse our ways. And we thank you that we can study it and meditate it and hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee, that we might not wander from your commandments. And we pray that we'd be teachable, and that we would be willing to follow the direction and the ways of your word, and that we would be willing to keep our hearts clean, and that we would be able to delight in your word, and that we won't forget your word in every aspect of our life. And we just pray this for each one of us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.